Our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12. It begins, "In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the desert of Judea, announcing, 'Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven.' He was the one of whom Isaiah the prophet spoke when he said, 'The voice of one shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight.' John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and all around the Jordan River came to him. As they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Many Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized by John. He said to them, 'You children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't even think about saying to yourselves, Abraham is our father. I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire. I baptize with water those of you who have changed your hearts and lives. The one who is coming after me is stronger than I am. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn, but he will burn the husks with a fire that cannot be put out." Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the words of John the Baptist today, and we thank you for the possibilities that he brings through his preaching at the Jordan and the baptizing that he represents for each one of us. May we feel the waters today. May we feel the Spirit moving. And may it bless us in the week ahead. In your holy name we pray. Amen. How many of you remember 2 Sundays ago? Any of you? How nice it was? Oh, it was beautiful, wasn't it? The sun was shining. Boy, did I have big plans after church. I was going to get my bikes winterized and put into storage, get the tires changed on my fat bike from non-studded to studded. I was going to rotate the tires on the Bronco. All these things that needed to be done before the snow started. It's funny how a weather forecast can get you motivated, especially after last week when I spoke about, are we there yet? As of today, we are into Advent. We had a great Santa Day yesterday, lots of children, lots of people, lots of presents, lots of smiles. Maybe jumping into this Christmas thing isn't that bad, but I just can't yet. I know something is coming. I can feel it in my bones. Last week brought me into the anticipation, or into the mindset of anticipation, wanting to hear what is next, wanting to celebrate Advent to the fullest to get my mind wrapped around the possibilities. And sometimes one has to think, what is better than some possibility? As I said, we're in the 2nd week of Advent. Week 1 brought us into thinking about God's kingdom, a mountain to get ready, to realize that something is going to happen and will happen because it always does. Maybe it shocked us because we are getting so close, but I'm still not ready. And I think many of you are probably in the same boat. We get too caught up in our own stories. We're trying to get ahead. But the pull of Advent is pulling us back, controlling our hearts and minds, and bringing us to the reality of a promise, one of a future and present kingdom. This week we take a look at Matthew's gospel to a story we hear a couple times throughout the year. It's one of those stories that when we hear it, we know what season we're in. But this story, although it is rememberable, it also gives us a few things. It is a story that is filled with hope. It is a story that's filled with prophecy. It's filled with the Spirit. One where we get to meet this man called John the Baptist. Okay, maybe John was a little eccentric. We know he dressed a bit different. He wore clothes that were made of camel hair, a leather belt. He ate locusts and honey. But his clothes, they are just that. Because for John, it wasn't about the way he looked. For him, what he is proclaiming is what really mattered. And what is he proclaiming today? Simply this, that we are not ready. That we haven't claimed this story as our story. That we are not living and dying by the promise. And that we haven't become the story and lived as the sign. Well, that is according to John the Baptist. So are we? Does he know what he is talking about? Does he know the possibility of what is going on? The answer to the last question is easy yet hard at the same time. Because in our gospel lesson for today, when you dig into it, let's just say this. It's a bit odd. And what do I mean by that? I mean that maybe it is hard to understand what is happening. Is it something good or is it something bad? And to answer that question, I must say that it's a little of both. But more than that, what is happening here is something powerful. Let me just explain. John the Baptist, today he is fulfilling his biblical role. He has felt this need. He looks around and notices a nation that isn't up to godly standards. There is longing for something better. People are searching, looking for possibility. So he starts preaching. Change your hearts and lives. Here comes the kingdom of heaven. Really? Wow, is it coming? Are we almost there? Is it almost here? But there is a problem, isn't there? There is something that we just can't get over, isn't there? Those first few words, change your hearts and lives. Or in other words, repent. All of a sudden, it seems like being the good news, living the good news, being the hands and feet of Jesus, well, it doesn't sound like so much fun now. When we are asked to change our hearts and lives, when we are asked to repent, what does that sound like to you? To me, it sounds like something is wrong, or even that something is broken. And when we are asked to change our hearts and lives to repent, it means that we feel sorry for what we have done. I mean that we confess. And by confess, I mean that we are admitting that we are wrong. And I know how hard that is. Because we want to be right. We demand that we are right. Even in those moments when we are proven wrong. I was thinking about how much repentance fits into the Advent season. We're supposed to slow down. We're supposed to be patient. We are supposed to get our minds ready for what is about to happen. We wait for possibility, yet it is a hard thing to do. We run here, we have these things going on, and you become more frustrated. Your schedule is filling up. You have cookies to bake. You have doctor's appointments to get to. You need to get your hair done, right? That is why I tend to sway away from this whole repent thing and use this translation from the Common English Bible, the one that says, change your hearts and lives. Because it isn't so brash. Matthew isn't demanding that we grovel into admission that we are inadequate. Rather, it is telling us this, that maybe we should be willing to live by a different story. And today, I think that's what John is doing here. He is offering us an invitation rather than condemnation. Instead of this harsh reality of living and admitting, he's telling us something about some great possibilities. He is saying, put your old life behind you. All those bad things that have held you down, that push you back, what is coming is far much better. So get on board. And if you do, all those possibilities come closer into reach. But all you have to do is make that turn. Get off the path you are on and follow a new sign. One that will bring you hope. One that will bring you peace. And here is the best thing about all of it. It is right here in front of you. If you just make the commitment, just like Moses did at the burning bush, all you have to do is say you want to see and admit that you want to be a part of this kingdom of heaven. As I continue to think about possibility, I can't help but think of all of God's children, because I believe this is something that the world is struggling with. I'm not going to get into it, but I want us to begin evaluating those around us. I didn't say judge, I said evaluating. You see, the crowds were coming. The crowds were confessing. The crowds were turning. And they were wading into the waters of the kingdom of heaven. Friends, this is Advent. Us seeing the world as God intended, not as we intend. At Advent study on Wednesday night, I asked, what is something that we continually pray for and we wait and wait for? And one of the responses was this, world peace. And we pray for it continually. We wait for the possibility. We wait for that wonderful sight, but then something happens, right? We don't ever see it. There's always fighting. There's nation against nation, people against people. We think we are right. They think they are right. I can't help but think of John in this type of moment, because what we do, we see, or what we do, what we see that makes this whole situation in the world we are today, it totally makes it weird. We see many people coming to the Jordan to be baptized. And who is joining them? People whom some might think don't belong. Here's what Matthew says. Many Pharisees and Sadducees came to be baptized by John. But the reality in this moment is this. There are no condescending looks. There is no one trying to stop them from coming forward. All it says is that they came to be baptized. And John makes these abrupt comments saying, "You children of snake, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming?" And if we know the story, we know John did. John gave them the possibility. John gave them the opportunity. There are times when we should listen. There are times when we are called to do something greater. And that is the call this Advent, to put away the hostilities of the world, to mute the incompetence of those who think they are loud, to silence the lies of the humanness of the world, and to turn ourselves to a loving Christ child. So, Pastor, how? How do we put aside the difference? How do we mute those who speak loud? How do we stifle the lies? The answer is quite simple. We produce fruit. Fruit that has shown that you have changed your hearts and lives. Friends, Advent isn't about repenting. Advent is about choosing a path. Advent is about bearing fruit. Advent is about showing others what being a follower of Christ is all about. It's about living different. And I never said thinking differently. It's about living differently. That is the implication of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who showed up to be baptized. They needed to show that they wanted to change because John has seen what they have done in the past. John isn't just willing to say because you are baptized, your life is different. No, baptism is about putting in the work. And he needs to see change. He wants to see change. What they are saying with their lives is different from what they have claimed they now want to join. Friends, sometimes we need to get personal. Sometimes we need to be truthful and say this whole life in Christ isn't a joyride. It is no walk in the park. And it's a journey that takes time. It's a journey that takes patience. It's a journey where we have to ask ourselves, are we ready to make the needed change? Are you ready? Because now is that time. Now is that place. Now is the possibility. And today, that possibility is real. Stand up for what Christ teaches us. Stand up for those on the margins. Stand up for those who look different. Stand up for those who are being taken away. Stand up for their possibilities. Because I know something, that we are only at the beginning. We know that there is so much more that is going to happen. And today, John should motivate us. John should drive us to a new vision of walking with the Christ that fought against the wrongs of the world to bring us the hope, to bring us the joy, to bring us the love, and to bring us the peace. In a kingdom that is here and now, in a kingdom where your voice is heard, in a kingdom where your story shapes the lives of those around you, all because of possibility. Amen.